You're listening to AM 970, The Answer. And now, Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, the president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another segment of Reaching Out. I have two very special guests from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 3. I have Chris Erickson. He is the business manager, representative responsible for maintenance division of the IBEW Local 3. He is also serving as a corresponding secretary for the Public Employees Conference of New York State. And he has with him Derek Jordan, his business representative, electrical technician division with over 1,700 members. And they are on strike. And we are here to talk about the strike that's been going on since March 28th, 2017. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Now, Christopher, you've explained to me that the company, cable company, has been unreasonable in your contract demands and your contract negotiations. Tell us what company that is.
Well, it's Spectrum, which is a division of Charter Communications, doing business as Spectrum here in New York City. That's the company.
And does it serve all five boroughs?
Oh, yeah. And New Jersey. And Charter is throughout New York State as well. They're franchised with New York State as well.
And are there any other companies in New York City besides Spectrum?
Yeah, there are. Cablevision, of course, is now doing business as Altice. I think they were just purchased. And Verizon as well. And let me clarify that Charter, you know, they bought Time Warner in New York City. Time Warner was a company that Local 3 had an agreement with for over 40 years. And good labor management relationships. The employees had good jobs. They had good benefits. And it was only after Charter came in and they called it a merger. The Public Service Commission approved the merger of Time Warner by Charter Communications. But Charter also, you know, it's a very large corporation. They've got about 90,000 employees across the country. And there's only two places where there are collective bargaining agreements. And they're both with the IBEW, one here in New York City and one in Hawaii. So that's what we're up against, you know, a company with a CEO that you might have heard. It's been out there. $98 million CEO corporate pay. And
he gets $98 million a year?
He did last year. I know. He may get more this year, you know, but a little over the top, huh, Greg?
Just slightly. Derek?
Yes.
So tell me, you represent each and every member that's on strike.
Yes, that is correct.
There's 1,700 members. How are those members holding up?
I'll tell you, it's extremely difficult. We have members that have lost their houses, have lost their cars. We have families that are suffering because of the strike and because of what Charter Spectrum is doing. And as Chris said, we've had over a 40-year bargaining relationship with this company prior, so there's really no reason for anyone to be suffering. And it's not about money. They can afford to, you know, maintain the pension and health care coverage that the members have always had. This is about union busting.
Now tell me, gentlemen, you say it's not about money. What's the strike over?
Well, as Derek said, these guys have, from the beginning, taking a position that they no longer want to participate or contribute to the union benefit plans, which is a health care plan and a pension fund, a defined benefit pension plan. And the company has said they're not paying into that anymore. You want to come to work for us, you can have a company 401k and you can participate in the company benefit plans. And we know that certainly went to the heart of an attack on the workers. And, you know, the idea of being in a union and being able to collectively bargain on your own behalf. You know, when a company says it's my way or the highway, that's not really collective bargaining, and we don't think they've been fair in regards to that since the inception. I mean, our health plan, it's expensive, but you know, Greg, the members have paid for this plan over 40 years. Every time you have a contract, and if you settle for 3% in each year and you need to take a percent and put it into the welfare fund or into the pension fund, those members did that. So as far as we're concerned, they've bought and paid for these benefits over this period of time. And for the company to come in here and just unilaterally say, we're not participating anymore, that goes right to your heart, and it's a problem. As Derek said, though, how the members are holding up, you know, this is a company that I believe is trying to starve these members into submission. And that's what they're doing. They have really no regard for the welfare of the employees that have made such a success of this company that these guys bought, the Time Warner Company. And it's a disgrace.
Now, I'm somebody who has this company. I'm using this service. I'm sitting at home. You've been on strike since March 28th, 2017. How has that affected my service?
Well, you're not getting what you're paying for. They have scab workers doing the work that normally our members would do. They've also hired people, and unfortunately, you know, we have some people that have crossed. But the bottom line is, you're not getting the service that you're paying for. Not at all.
Now, when you say I'm not getting the service what I pay for, give me an example.
Well, one example would be recently you have, I believe it's Channel 40, which is Fox, and they've been basically removed from Charter Spectrum's channel lineup. So, you know, you're not getting what you're paying for.
Wait. You talk about Fox Channel 5 or Fox,
Fox
News?
Channel 40 Fox.
No. Which station would
it's,
that be?
It's actually a news station, I believe.
It's the news. It's
yes.
The Fox News station.
Yes. It's
so
one
a
of
national
the
Fox
on
News.
40.
In other words, Hannity and all those guys.
I believe it is. It's listed as 40 Fox News, and it has been removed.
Wow, that's huge. That's like one of the three major news outlets. So if I don't have Fox on, I can't get my view from the right.
Yeah, well, you're not missing much. You know, the other thing is the Attorney General has filed a lawsuit against Charter for failing to deliver on what they claim is the speed of the internet. And, of course, you see all the commercials. When you're in a fight like this, they've got a lot of money to spend, and so they're promoting themselves during the strike. They're on TV all the time talking about the speed of the internet, and you can get this and you can get that. Viva Loca, you know, the whole thing. It's our hope that the Attorney General prevails in this suit. And if that happens, they will have been found to have violated the franchise agreement. And then the mayor, who up until now, and in his defense, would have done what we wanted him to do, was to cancel their franchise legally. He couldn't do it. His hands are tied right now. But if they were found to have violated the franchise by the Attorney General's lawsuit, That changes the picture for Charter.
Where's that lawsuit? How long do you think it will take to get a resolution?
You know, I'm not sure, but I know that the attorney generals from different states met recently in Washington, D.C., and they were apprised of the lawsuit. California, Illinois, and a number of others have expressed an interest to pursue similar suits against Charter, and we welcome that as well. Any pressure that comes on this company at this point, because of who they are and what they're doing, they deserve everything they get.
Now, Derek, you mentioned they have scabs.
Yes.
That's people who are not union workers that are coming in. Where are these scabs coming from?
Texas, California. We have pictures that we actually presented also to the city council. And these are people that are coming in from different states. And during the beginning of the strike, these people were coming in. One in particular incident was a person from Texas who was actually packing a pistol. And that person actually threatened one of our local three members. So these are people that haven't been vetted, and, you know, they were coming into your apartment.
Wait, they're actually coming into apartments with firearms?
They were coming into the apartment in the beginning of the strike with firearms. I don't know if that's been corrected or not, but these were issues that did take place at the beginning of the strike.
You know,
yes, Chris.
Think about a scab and what that means and in the history of the labor movement. You know, the public and the communities always supported strikers because they knew that if workers were on strike, they were fighting for something, you know, that ultimately, you know, benefited everybody. Even the workers that were not in unions benefited by the success of the trade union movement. And it's just a little sad to say that today, you know, people will cross a picket line. Do they even give a second thought to the person that's out there on that picket line, why they're there, what they're fighting for? And I'm a little disheartened by the fact that, you know, but there's not much that they can do. I can't hold a customer accountable for something that they really have no control over. This system of this franchise, the way it's set up, you don't have a lot of options. And if there were options, thousands and thousands of trade unionists and people that would be supporting this strike would have dumped Spectrum a long time ago. There's no option under the current system. And that's why this system has to change. Their franchise is up in 2020. And it is our hope, regardless of what happens, that this city council takes a position that no matter what Charter does, they're not getting another franchise based on their conduct here in New York City. And I hope they run them out of town.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me today is Chris Erickson. He is the business manager for Local 3, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And with him is also Derek Jordan, who is the business representative for Local 3, the maintenance division. And we are talking about the cable strike of Spectrum. Now, when did you negotiate with this company last?
The last meeting with the company was held on December 20th. It was basically a representative of the company, myself, and a mediator that has been brought in, a private mediator, to try to resolve this. And it was on December 20th that the union made a proposal that we never thought we would have to get to. And that proposal was that we would accept the company's position that anybody that was hired since the strike and any new employees would go into the company benefit plans. And that the strikers go back to work, and then in the union benefit plans, the pension and the hospitalization, and then through attrition, that would go away. So in effect, the union basically said, we're gonna agree to your proposal. And 5 days before Christmas, I was confident that that was something that would have settled this thing. Company asked a couple of questions. The company representative asked a couple of questions. And then 20 minutes into the conversation said, we're not interested. We reject that proposal. And at that point, I didn't have anywhere else to go. And I said, well, then the strike is going to continue. Subsequent to that, they mischaracterized in a correspondence to the company employees about that meeting, how it was presented. I had the mediator call them to let them know that, and I asked for a meeting. I said, we want to come back to the table. And their answer was, and this was on January 18th, their answer was, we're not interested in coming back to the table. If you have anything you want to talk about, you can send it to us in writing. On December 20th, I didn't have the heart to tell the members that 5 days before Christmas. And so we waited until we had a meeting in January to explain that the position of the company to the membership. And as you can imagine, they were a little disappointed, as I was, that this company, who is making a ton of money, you know, continues to go in this direction where I believe, and I believe from day one, that it was their intention to break the union here and the hopes that the workers would cross the picket line and go back to work without Local 3. I think that was their intention from the beginning, and they're holding on to that, and they're holding on and digging in pretty hard.
Well, Chris, the CEO, what is his name?
Rutledge.
What's his first name?
Tom Rutledge.
Tom Rutledge made $98 million last year. His company is still operating. I guess he's doing that well. He could tell Fox News that they don't have to be on his state on cable. So that means most of the people in New York City won't have Fox News. So I guess that fails well for Fox News. I would imagine Fox News would have something to say to all the customers about what's going on. But besides Fox News, what are the disadvantages that the people who have the service are not getting? What are they being cheated out of? Because it's obvious the company is running and they're surviving and they're making a profit that they feel that they could shun Fox News and shun the union employees and just have scabs working for the rest of their contract and rest of their services.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not lowering the price of their services. You would think if they were able to reduce the cost of doing business, they would reduce the cost of the services to the consumers. But that's not happening. So the profits are going right back into the company. And we've watched the stock price go up, and that's unfortunate. You got a company that, you know, puts these people on strike, and then their stock price goes up. People are concerned about their 401ks, and they could give, you know, a hoot about really what the company is doing. But customer service, you know, and when they start putting ads in the paper saying how their customer service and their, you know, is improving, you know, that means it's not, and that they're probably just trying to take a position to try to convince everybody. You can't replace 1,700 people with, you know, half of that and expect to get the same level of service that they had when they had a fully engaged workforce. And I think both the city, the controller's office, and the New York State Public Service Commission is taking a hard look at whether Charter, despite their ads, their paid for ads touting something different, are really living up to their responsibilities under the agreements that they made with both the state of New York and the city of New York.
Now, Derek.
Yes.
Service time. Has that gone down? Do we see a longer wait period for services? Like, say, I need a repair done on my cable, and you used to come within the week. Now you come within, like, 2 or 3, 4 weeks.
Well, I don't have the actual numbers on that. I do know that they are dispatching technicians out to out on calls, and the number of those calls, and I guess how can I say it? The way they're being done, whether they're being done properly or not, from what we're being told, they're not. We're being told it's really a mess inside, and the public just doesn't really know what's going on. So, I mean, it's unfortunate we have people that have crossed, but they do keep in touch with us, and they do let us know what's going on the inside. So, you know, even though they're sending people out to do these calls are not getting done correctly.
Okay, so are you receiving support? Is Local 3 receiving?
Before you get there, let me just support? Add, because this yeah. was an issue in the beginning of the strike. The technicians were going out to service a service call, and when they got there, they did everything they could. Everything was properly working, but the service was bad, and this all had to do with the speed of the internet that the Attorney General's lawsuit addressed. And so our members were doing everything that they could possibly do but couldn't fix because they had no control over the speed of the internet. And then our members were starting to get written up because the customer would call back and say, it's still not working, it's still not working. And our members were being disciplined over that, and that was also a driving factor in this strike as well.
Repeat call policy, it was called.
So you were actually getting blamed for the company's problem of not having the high-speed internet. So
yes,
therefore, the employees were getting blamed and written up for poor performance, but it was to no fault of their own. It's just faulty equipment and service on the provider.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there an arbitration case? I mean, is there an arbitration clause that you could go to?
No. There isn't. I mean, this actually, we've challenged them on grievances in the past, and we've lost because, again, they say no to everything. But we have proof that those internet speeds were, in most cases, not the fault of our technicians. Take, for example, the housing projects, the thickness of the walls, the location of the modem. That all affects the speed and all affects what type of service you're going to get. And if you send our technician out and he diagnoses that, you know, everything is working properly, but the last room, you know, in that apartment is not getting the internet speed it's supposed to get because of the distance of the modem and the thickness of the walls, then that technician was penalized for that. He was held accountable for that.
I know a little something about housing. And
yes.
The walls are plaster, not sheetrock.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Yeah.
Big stuff. Yes. You asked about support. And, yeah, absolutely. You know, we've had affiliates, of course, Mario Salento from the State Fed and Vinny Alvarez and the affiliates of the Central Labor Council have all expressed their support, some more than others. Peter Ward, the Hotel Trades Council, very generous contributions to the strike fund. We've spent over $5 million on the strike to date, and that's not easy. But we've got the support of the Public Service Commission in going after them. We've got the elected officials writing letters, doing everything they can to discourage them and encouraging them to end the strike. One thing that's happening and we think is going to bring pressure on charter is that in 41 states where they operate, so does the IBW. And the IBW across the country are actually handing out pledge cards and organizing charter communications. And so that it's got to get their attention as well. We also had leafleting. We were leafleting the Spectrum service centers, the charter centers, and the result was multiple violations, unfair labor practice charges in 9 or 10 regions of the country where the company basically did not allow the people that were out there doing the hand billing to express their right to which they had to put these flyers out. So there's pressure, you know, behind the scenes here. It may not be visible. We maintain picket lines on 23rd Street at the main plant in Brooklyn. So we're out there. But to the extent that, you know, at the end of the day, it's your fight. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And the affiliates will do everything they can. Certainly a number of them have offered employment opportunities, and we ask them for that, to sustain the strikers that are really in trouble here, part-time work opportunity. And many of the affiliates have come up with opportunities where we've been able to put people through. Even in Local 3, we've been able to roll the strikers through our construction division, and guys went back to work, and they worked 4 weeks, and they got a paycheck. You know, their unemployment runs out. The membership, the construction membership in Local 3 voted to assess themselves a 0.5%, which generated a couple of $1 million that extended the unemployment benefits for the strikers for 8 weeks after their unemployment run out. So as a union internally, we're doing everything we can. We're getting support from the affiliates and the trade union movement. But I'm not so sure that this isn't a bigger fight than just Local 3. If Charter can beat Local 3, which is a strong union and has a great history for representing its members in New York City, that kind of sets the tone for a lot of other unions to pay attention. And whether that is being directed out of Washington, the corporate agenda, the Republican right wing, certainly coming after Local 3 in New York City is one that they would love to see. And these people have a lot of money to win this fight.
Well, they have a casualty. They have Fox News. If Fox News can't get on, they can't get the message out from the right wing. Listen, gentlemen, that's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. May we have you come back and give us an update on the strike and how it's progressing. Very special guest, Chris Erickson, who's business manager, Local 3, International Brotherhood Electrical Workers, and also Derek Jordan, who is the business representative of Local 3 IBEW. I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237, and that's all the time we have for this segment. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, President of Teamsters Local 237. Join us each and every Saturday night at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.